Your brand deserves better than one-size-fits-all branded clothing. Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your team will want to wear, backed by above-and-beyond expertise. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Very experienced at last year with Cork. They were complacent. Their game plan was set up to prepare for another team, as if they were playing Dublin. That's coming from the coaches. So don't talk about they weren't complacent. They were.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetSetGo. Are you ready for quick start car insurance? Get a quote today at GetSetGo.ie.
The News Round on Off The Ball
with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
This is News Talk.
All right, you're welcome along. It is Thursday's Off The Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock. We've got a packed show coming your way. At 8 o'clock, we're going to have a lengthy feature interview with the Republic of Ireland manager, Stephen Kenny. He's going to talk to us about some of the issues he's faced, not just on the pitch over the last couple of years, but off the pitch as well. So that coming your way, and well worth a listen from 8 o'clock. John Giles, as always, at 7:30, he's going to be looking back on the last week of Euro 2020 and football coming home. John living over in Leeds and right in the middle of it, so we'll chat to him about that. And then a little bit later, I will hear the really interesting story of Carolyn Hayes, who is going to the Olympics as one of the Irish triathletes who has qualified. She only took it up at the age of 25 and is now heading to Tokyo this summer. So well worth listening in for that as well. 53106 is the text number. Add off the ball if you want to get in touch on Twitter. Richie McCormack is with us. Evening, Richie.
Hey, Nathan.
And Joe Malloy is with us as well. Good evening, Joe.
Lads, how you doing?
Not too bad. So Stephen Kenny is coming up at 8 o'clock. It is a long interview. He was in studio with us earlier today. We recorded it this afternoon. And he does obviously touch on what's been going on with the Republic of Ireland on the pitch, but also talks a lot about what's going on off the pitch. And one of the things he's going to talk about, you might remember a couple of years ago, the 21s played a match in Sweden, and afterwards Stephen had some health issues, and at the time it was said he had chest pains, he was admitted to hospital, and we never really heard a huge amount more about it. But on the back of what happened to Christian Eriksen, Stephen decided he wanted to talk about it, because what happened to Stephen Kenny was what happened to Christian Eriksen. He collapsed, his heart stopped, and he had to be brought back, thankfully, by the FAI medical staff who were at the airport with him in Sweden at the time. So he is going to talk about that and the effect it had on him and the effect it's had on the people around him, his family, and also the coaching staff who were all there to see it, much like the Danish players who were standing there wondering whether he was going to survive. It is a pretty remarkable tale, Joe, that Stephen Kenny told me earlier on. One I really wasn't aware of at all. I do remember at the time, and there were obviously rumours swirling around. I said to him, it's a bit of a testament to the 5-6 backroom staff who were there that this never became full public knowledge until he decided he wanted to be public knowledge.
Yeah, it's a good point. I hadn't heard the rumours. I tend to try and avoid all these rumours because, you know yourself, you blurt them out on air then when you don't mean to. So I hadn't even asked anybody what had gone on there. I figured it was his own personal medical situation. So it came as a total shock to me when he came in today and you were saying that this was the focus of the interview. I'm really looking forward to hearing it. As you say, dead right. Yeah, it's amazing it hasn't leaked out. And just as you're talking there, so I hadn't realized he was surrounded by the FAI medical staff. A bit like Christian Eriksen, it sounds like he was incredibly lucky it happened when it did, i.e. both were surrounded by trained medical staff who were there and able to act at the time. So remarkable, and really looking forward to the interview. He's a deep character, Stephen Kenny, and so I suspect it's had a profound effect on him. Penny for his thoughts as Christian Eriksen collapsed on the pitch. I suspect maybe it brought the horror of what he had experienced back to him, or maybe even gave him a different perspective on it, because no doubt when it happens to you, you're in your own world, in your own bubble, but maybe seeing the upset of the Danish players around Eriksen gave Kenny a sense of what was happening all around him at the airport. So, yeah, looking forward to it. 8 o'clock should be a really good listen.
Yeah, we do touch on that with him, Richie, which I think was one of the reasons he wanted to talk about it now, was actually one of the things that was so stark of Christian Eriksen's scenario was we all saw the teammates, we saw Simon Carr, Kasper Schmeichel, the impact it had on them, on his partner when she ran onto the pitch, that actually maybe you don't realise the full extent of the effect it has on other people, because understandably the focus is on your own health and making sure you're fine, that actually for people to witness something like that is a heck of a shock to have to deal with.
And that's an ongoing thing. Like, that's something that the people around you, your family members, your friends, etc., etc., like anybody who's had any kind of illness that's brought them to the brink like that will know that while they might feel, you know, fine in themselves sometime after it, the lingering effects and that reminder of your fragility kind of has a deep impact on your close relatives and on your friends and your colleagues and family and stuff like that. So it's a hell of a thing to have to come through, especially while you're dealing with it in such a high profile job. I mean, it's one thing for somebody, you know, like ourselves to have something like that happen to them and then after a few weeks go back to work and quietly go about your business. But when you have literally a whole country's eyes upon you at a pretty difficult and trying time for the international football team, to add to that the layer that you've come back from a heart problem and a pretty serious one at that, that is a lot for both Kenny and his immediate family to have to deal with. And it's a lot of pressure to have on those shoulders, and that he has come through it, first of all, fit and healthy, and he looks fantastic, obviously enough, is one thing. But for the mental stability to come through all that as well and still have it there is quite something else too, and he needs commended for that.
So that's coming up after 8 o'clock. We do talk about the football as well, obviously, and everything that's gone on over the last few months and the result against Luxembourg and trying to bounce back from that. And he is still very passionate about what he believes Irish football should be and what it can be and where he expects it to get to over the coming years. And also we talk about Euro 2020 because he was there. He's actually been over at a couple of the matches scouting Portugal, which is quite a frightening prospect, as you can imagine, Joe. Yes, you're looking at Renato Sanchez going, so I hadn't helped but notice, but maybe the French were struggling to stop this guy, but it should be just fine for us.
I know.
And Cristiano Ronaldo bidding for his world record goal in that game.
Yeah, well, as you know, Ronaldo's a player who has struggled for motivation generally, so that's useful. Yeah, I know. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what he made of them. So I don't know. Portugal at this stage is a rather scary thought. There was a... not a bad performance, but I don't know, that second half would give you not quite a map, but I mean, Belgium were absolutely wrecked and decided, let's just pitch up in our own box here. And they managed to hold out for 45 minutes. I mean, as much as we want to play football and everything, Nathan, I think there's a fair chance we might be doing some pitching up in our own box and trying to defend for our lives and hold out the way the Belgians managed to do. And they sort of got through it. So,
don't know if it's the greatest game plan of all time, of pray to God, maybe that one that hits the post again and doesn't go in and you don't end up losing the game.
It's a touch reductive. It's a touch, hey, look, it worked against the Dutch in 0-1, so we've got away with it before. But yeah, no, I'm curious for his thoughts on Euro 2020. Because what struck me, I don't know about you, but in plenty of matches, we've seen a lot of pragmatism. And I know Ireland are trying to play a very ambitious brand now, and Kenny is absolutely and wholeheartedly wedded to that. But look, Gareth Southgate's got some decent players. He's not afraid to go a little bit more defensive. So curious to see if some of that has landed with Kenny as well.
Well, I guess what's been interesting, Ireland have switched formations quite a lot, which is something we've also seen an awful lot during the Euros, that teams are constantly changing 4 at the back, 3 at the back, trying to shift things. Portugal went through a radical overhaul midway through the tournament and what they were trying to do in midfield. So maybe that is the way. It is a horses for courses approach that Ireland need. 53106 is the text number. The news round on Off the Ball, brought to you by Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. It is Irish Open week down in Mount Juliet. Day one is done and dusted pretty much, Richie.
It is, yeah. Just a few stragglers left to come home, but Lucas Herbert remains the man to catch as the opening day of the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open draws to a close at Mount Juliet. The Aussie carded 9 birdies in an 8-under par round of 64 today, and Herbert is 2 shots clear of Scotland's Grant Forrest. Colin Moriarty is surprisingly best of the Irish, following a 4-under 68 today. Shane Lowry ended the day on 2-under par, Niall Kearney on 1-under, while Rory McIlroy and Paul Dunne both ended the day on level par.
Yeah, great that the Irish Open has a decent field when you have McIlroy, Lowry, McDowell, Harrington, Tommy Fleetwood is there as well. Just around 2,500 people, and obviously it's not what the Irish Open has been in recent times, and there's all sorts of COVID regulations, which is why we're not down there broadcasting for the full week. That and the fact we didn't get invited to the Pro-Am, Joe, but listen, we didn't let that influence us at all.
Dermot and Dave did.
Oh, really? They should have mentioned that in their show more often for 3 hours this morning.
Yeah, I saw it on social media, Dermot. And I was like, are they on Golf Weekly now? Are they the lads looking after Golf? Have the keys to Golf Weekly's Patreon been handed over to Dermot and or Dave? I was just kind of surprised at that, lads.
Thank you, Richie, for pointing out to me Dermot and Dave got an invite into the Pro-Am. Nathan Murphy's only said that about 15 times today.
That Dermot and Dave got invited to the Pro-Am.
It was only Dermot. I don't think Dave got the invite, unfortunately.
No, Dave, I think, was hanging around the course while Dermot was in his golf gear.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's not like we've worked for years on this golf podcast.
And the production team I saw from the show were down there too. Like, I mean, this, you know.
Who didn't?
You didn't get a call or anything like that?
No, there was no call. No call at all. But it's fine. It's fine.
We know where we stand. We know where we're standing.
Okay. Yeah. Very close to the bottom, it turns out, rather depressingly. Very, very close to that spot.
Welcome to the club, lads. Welcome to the club. I've been here for 2 years.
In their eyes, we promote golf about as much as you do, Richie.
In fairness, 2,500, Joe. You know, we'd need the full house to play our best golf. Really, we'd need, you know, a gallery 10 deep really watching us. Otherwise, it just wouldn't work.
Correct. I'd feel flat out there today, Nathan. I don't know about you. I just wouldn't be able to bring my best stuff.
No. We do have Carolyn Hayes coming up later on. So Irish triathlete. Really interesting story and well able to tell it as well. The highlight of the interview, unquestionably. So Carolyn was in here in studio a couple of years back when we were training for the triathlon by hook or by crook. Oh, yeah. So Carolyn was in giving some tips. And she remembered this, and remarkably in the middle of the interview, while discussing her going to the Olympics, says, as you know, as a triathlete. No. To which I felt like stopping her and correcting her, but I thought, actually, maybe I'll just leave it there.
That time me and two colleagues split up the triathlete and I ran 5K, you responded.
I didn't mention that. I just agreed and said, yes.
You do have to
maximize yourself at certain times and pick and choose your moments to really push it. When you're doing that 5K at the end of the triathlon that everyone else has done and they're still running past you. So she's coming up a little bit later on as well. What else you got for us, Richie?
I was just moving past the Dermot and Dave down at the Pro-Am thing. Minister for Sport Jack Chambers has confirmed a new handful of test events for the return of fans to sport in this country. 6,000 fans will be allowed to attend Bohemians Conference League home leg with Stjarnan on Thursday fortnight. That game is being played, of course, at the Aviva Stadium. 3,000, we discovered this evening, will be allowed inside the LIT Gaelic grounds for next week's Munster Hurling semi-final clash of Tipperary and Clare. And 600 will be at Bray Wanderers SSE or Tristy First Division meeting. That's with Cove Ramblers on Friday next.
Slowly but surely. 6,000 for Bowls, though, is progress.
No, it is. And there's obviously huge upset and frustration amongst the hospitality sector, understandably. And so I'm sure they're looking at these events saying, well, what's going on here, you know? But I suppose the logic would be, in order for everybody to learn what's causing cases and what's not causing cases, it's no good just opening everything up at once. So the hospitality sector is taking a back seat now, and that's, again, my heart goes out to them. But I guess the logic in continuing with sport is, well, at least now we can see what the net effect of that is, as opposed to, as we've done over the last while, it's all or nothing. And then it's very hard for us to know what the super spreader events are, what the causes are. Like, I still don't think, all this time on, we have a good enough sense of what fans at sporting events does or doesn't do, because it tends to open and close in conjunction with everything else. So it makes total sense to push ahead. Let's see what the net effect is here of these matches. And not that I'm saying this will happen in these instances, but it was quite notable last night on the news round. Richie had the story that I think 1,300 cases are related to the Scottish-England match. Mm. 400 of those directly at the match, a bunch of others travelling down. I don't know about you, I've seen videos of the plane flight, the flights down from Scotland to the UK, and it's mass off and like loud singing and packed plane and no social distancing. So like, it was just a complete mess in that instance. Obviously that's not going to be the case for the test events here, but yeah, look, I'm glad it's happening slowly but surely, and let's get a sense week by week of what the net effect is. And then, like, we're going to be stuck with this for a long time, as I think we're all really realizing, vaccine or no. So it's about learning what events work, don't work, etc. So, and look, it's just nice that there'll be a bit of an atmosphere at the games as well, of course.
Our coverage of the Lions continues this weekend. Remember, we've every single match live here on Off the Ball. It's going to be the most confusing commentary of all time for Neil on Saturday evening for that 5 o'clock start when the Lions play the Lions down in South Africa for the first match down there. But Team News in, Richie?
Yeah, Warren Gatland's made sweeping changes to his Lions team for their first game on South African soil. Only Josh Adams is retained from the team that beat Japan for Saturday's match with the Emirates Lions in Johannesburg. Only two Irish players will be involved, with Ian Henderson and Bundy Aki both named on the replacements bench. Owen Farrell is going to start at inside centre, with Finn Russell getting the nod at out half. And Gatland is confident that that pair can gel well together in the same side.
They've worked really well together. And just alluding to what Stuart said, I mean, that, you know, Owen's had a huge amount of experience, his third tour and, you know, captain of England as well. So he's adding a lot to the environment. And then Finn, you know, has a slightly different way of playing, but I think he's, you know, matured amazingly in the last few years in terms of his game management and the way he controls the game. Is we know what flair he has from an attacking perspective, but also it's just those little deft kicks, as well, attacking kicks that, you know, he's able to bring to his game. And I thought against France, the way that he managed that game and his kicking game control was outstanding. So yeah, it's pretty exciting to have a look at that combination. We do want to have a look at Owen at 10 at some stage as well, and give him an opportunity there, because that's where he's been picked. But we know that he's equally comfortable in the 12 position.
What do you call them then? Will he have to call them the South Africans, or how do you get through this commentary when the two teams are called the same thing?
How do you, like, I'm trying to think, like, how often in a game would you mention the team apart from the score?
Ooh, all the time. The Lions are gaining some crucial yards here. Well, which Lions?
Well, you just,
is he going to start calling them the British Lions? Because then there's going to be another issue.
The British and Irish Lions.
Ooh, it's
and
a bit,
the Emirates Lions.
It's a bit, yeah, I don't know.
He could go for the old, you know, local name that they would have had for the Lions back in the day before they started adopting the Lions, Tigers, Sharks, Oh My approach to South African rugby, and go with the Johannesburg names and all that, just for a bit of old schoolness.
All right, he hasn't informed us yet what he's going to do, but tune in 5 o'clock Saturday for full live commentary of that. Ireland also playing on Saturday and going pretty much at full strength.
Yeah, James Ryan has been past fit to captain Ireland in Saturday's test with Japan at the Aviva Stadium. The Leinster lock had been struggling with an adductor injury during the week. Joey Carberry plays his first Ireland match since the 2019 World Cup. He's been named out half, and his Munster teammate Gavin Coombs will earn his first cap off the bench. Ryan's injury had supposedly seen him miss out on potentially replacing Alan Wynne-Jones in that Lions squad. Head coach Andy Farrell was asked today about Ryan's fitness levels by Virgin Media's Sinead Cassan.
Well, myself and Warren have communicated quite a lot, and obviously I know that Warren really rates James, but the injury, Sinead, was a little bit of a setback towards the end of next week, and we didn't quite know where we was up to with that, and then the medics took over, you know, and I think James, over the last day or so in particular, has surprised everyone with the speed of the recovery.
So did Warren get in touch with you to see if he would be available to take over from Alan?
Well, I informed him. I informed him that there was something going on, and then the medics took over from there.
As we celebrate the return of international rugby, OTB Sports have teamed up with Guinness to welcome what will hopefully be a summer of more rugby moments spent with good friends. We're giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to go and see Ireland against Japan in the Aviva this Saturday, July 3rd. We've got two pairs to give away, so to be given a chance of winning, simply answer this question. Who captained Ireland in this year's Guinness Six Nations win over England? Text your name and the answer to 53106 and be entered into the draw to win. That's with thanks to Guinness. Hashtag Guinness time. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie. Joey Carberry at out half, Joe. That's pretty exciting.
It is. I can't really work out what happened with James Ryan there based on the Andy Farrell.
It seems to be, listen, we put out the injury thing in the hope that it might ease the disappointment for James. Here, if he's fit to start and they wanted him to go to South Africa, he'd be on the plane, surely.
Yeah. It's just, he seemed to be saying they thought Ryan would be ruled out into next week, and then he surprised everyone with the speed of his recovery. That's what I took from it.
Like, because if you were James Ryan and they wanted to call you up and you said, no, I'm going to be out for a couple of weeks, I can't do it, and suddenly you're fit to play for Ireland, you'd be peeved. So, it doesn't really stack up, does it?
No, not really. Because Gerry Thornley did say on Monday Night Rugby that the Lions had inquired after James Ryan and were told, oh, short-term injury. Now, maybe Gatland had been told, well, he'll be out in into well into next week, and Gatland said, oh, I don't want the hassle of an injured player, so Adam Beard, up you come. So I wonder, are they surprised to see James Ryan captaining Ireland this weekend? It's a strange one. Ron Nagar was good last night, by the way, in Wednesday Night Rugby on Farrell. I know you were mentioning him there, Richie. Basically saying Farrell really has to play 10, and the further you move him away from 10, the more diluted he is, and that was his strong opinion. So
does that mean Aki plays at 12?
No, I would think Henshaw 12, because he was advocating a second ball player and he was saying he'd have Henshaw in there.
Right.
So I don't know, like, there's a lot of pieces in that jigsaw.
Yeah.
Aki did really well. He was complimentary of Aki at the weekend. But definitely, it was just quite interesting. O'Gara saying, Farrell's not 12. Put him at 10. And that's the best way to go. So we'll see how it plays out.
Transfer news. Richie, are we at the yellow bar in Sky Sports News confirmed stage with this one?
More or less, yeah. Jadon Sancho is going to complete a move to Manchester United after England's involvement at Euro 2020 is through. A fee has been agreed with Borussia Dortmund for the English international, believed to be €85 million. The transfer is still subject, of course, to contractual terms and a medical, which will take place after those Euros.
You can't have enough good players, Joe. So Jadon Sancho, with all he's done at Borussia Dortmund in the last couple of seasons, great for Manchester United to get it done. Does this mean then Mason Greenwood becomes a number nine and Sancho plays on the right-hand side and they're putting everything on Greenwood to be able to deliver? Maybe he doesn't have to. Maybe Cavani plays half the games and they split it between them. Still feels like they need a number nine.
I was wondering the same thing. It feels like they've bought another player similar to what they have already, doesn't it?
Because I heard someone talking today that they've sort of had square pegs, round holes. The players who weren't suited to that position on the right have been playing out there, whether it's Rashford. Like, it doesn't solve a lot of their problems in that. If Pogba plays out on the left, Rashford can't play out on the left. Do you want Rashford as your number nine? I know he's carrying an injury at the moment. Are you ready for Greenwood to be your number nine at 18, 19 for the next couple of years? Maybe Jadon Sancho comes in and he is a transformative figure with all of his talent. Yeah. But it certainly doesn't bridge the gap, you feel, that one signing.
No, he won't hurt for sure. But if we go back to all Manchester United's bigger games this year, then one of their fundamental problems in midfield is they can't put Pogba alongside one other, you know. And so the point has been made by several of our regular pundits that actually Manchester United need a world-class Kante-esque number six that you can put Pogba alongside. And that would jump out to you. And equally, who's Harry Maguire's partner? So, I mean, I would have thought if you're dropping 70 million...
Well, Rafa Varane, the speculation is mounting, so maybe Rafa Varane solves all of that. We are out of time, unfortunately. John Giles is waiting on the line right now. You can get all the rest of the sports news on otbsports.com. Richie, thank you as always.
Cheers, lad.
As I said, Stephen Kenny coming away after 8 o'clock. Seamus Coleman, by the way, we have the Irish manager coming up. Seamus Coleman was on OTB AM for an extensive interview this morning talking about Rafa Benitez and about what's going on with Ireland as well. So you can get that on all our social channels. But up next, it is John Giles.
The news round on Off The Ball.
With Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Are you ready for quick start car insurance? Get a quote today at getsetgo.ie.